Belgium shuts down its main airport over a strike. And what do central banks do with all their gold? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. All flights in and out of Belgium, a European hub, have been cancelled due to a 24-hour strike by the country's main transport unions. Reports estimate it could cost the local economy $14 million. From Brussels, here's the BBC's Gavin Lee.
80,000 passengers were due to fly or land at Belgian airports today. All of those flights have now been cancelled. Belgium's air traffic agency, Skies, decided late yesterday to shut the country's airspace for all flights taking off and landing, exempting only military and government flights. It's the first time the airspace has been forced to close in this way. The action by Belgium's three main trade unions will also affect trains, buses and ports with skeleton services in place. The target of the combined strike is the Belgian government, following a disagreement over wage growth for public workers.
Gavin Lee. Let's do the numbers. More optimism over a truce in the China-US trade spat is pushing global shares higher. That's after President Trump said he could let the deadline for new tariffs, quote, slide for a little while. Heineken shares are popping more than 5% after an expansion of its non-alcoholic beverages led to the company's biggest core brand volume growth in a decade. And as Brexit uncertainty continues to grip Britain, Ford has reportedly warned it's preparing to move production out of the UK. Now, governments and central banks often don't see eye to eye. In the last year, we've seen it over interest rate policy in the US, Turkey and India. Now in Italy, a populist lawmaker has suggested defining who owns the Italian central bank's $103 billion in gold reserves, the world's fourth largest. It got us thinking about gold and central banks, and we reached out to Kevin Dowd, professor of finance and economics at Durham University, who explains the history.
The reason they have gold reserves is a vestige of the gold standard days. A central bank would issue a banknote, which was a receipt against gold. And so if you look at the Bank of England notes, they have the legend, "I promise to pay the bearer on demand." That means I'll pay you gold when you come to the bank and present the pound note or whatever. Now, the last vestiges of the gold standard were swept away in 1971. And then we switched from a gold standard system to a system of fiat inconvertible currency, where the central banks can print as much money as they want. So gold has no function in the present system, but it was a vital function in the old system. And therefore, when you look at gold in the current systems that we have, it's just another asset of the central bank.
So in Italy, there might be a fight over that asset. There's concern that the populist government wants to raid those reserves and fund its own spending promises. So who owns that gold?
The Bank of Italy is owned by the Italian government, and therefore it already owns the gold. It's just that the control of the gold rests with the central bank rather than the Italian government. So it's really a battle of control rather than a battle of ownership. Taking the gold out of the central bank, giving it to the government and letting the government spend it is not the direction of travel that I would recommend. I would recommend a fundamental monetary reform and fundamental fiscal reform to restrain the kind of excessive discretionary powers which have been part of the cause of the mess that we see.
Okay, so you're saying the gold is valuable, but more valuable is growing the economy.
Yeah, institutional reform leads to economic growth. That's the key thing, is to get the institutional reform right. And then once you've cleared the way for economic growth, you get enormous benefits.
Kevin Dowd. Since last April, the Buy America, Hire American executive order has directed the Department of Homeland Security to issue H-1B visas to only the most skilled and best paid foreigners. It's led to a drop off in the numbers of graduates in places like India even bothering to apply for visas. From Bangalore, the BBC's Rahul Tandon reports.
Some news on the IT space. It's going to be a setback for IT companies as the US government has announced tougher and newer policies to make H-1B visa approval harder.
A lot of the news in India has been dominated by stories like this one. Thousands of Indians go to the States every year on H-1B visas. But not everybody is a critic of the American president. Partha Biswas is from India, but he runs a firm in Silicon Valley. He understands Donald Trump's concerns.
Engineers have gone, been paid lower salaries, and Americans are losing their jobs in this process, which is not what this visa was designed to do. These visas are supposed to be given to highly technical people, highly qualified, but unfortunately, we see just the opposite. The grunge work, the repetitive works.
Bhaiya, ek thumbs up.
I've come to the canteen of the Indian Institute of Management. This is one of the best colleges in India. Amongst those who's grabbing a bite to eat here is Professor Pavitra Mishra. She says a lot of the students around her no longer want to go abroad.
There are certain negative vibes about it in US and other places. A lot of issues with regard to ethnic backgrounds, culture and things like that are coming up. Apart from that, India itself is growing so much.
That's the professor's view, but let's find out what the students have to say. Do they want to stay in India or go abroad? And how much of a factor is Donald Trump?
If Trump makes it easier, yeah, maybe. But at the moment, no, at least.
For the ones who want to go to the US, yes, he's making life difficult for them. But for some of us, we are pretty content here.
There are more opportunities there.
One thing that will lead to people leaving is India's collapsing infrastructure system. The question is, though, who's going to let them in and how many are going to be allowed to go?
Rahul Tandon reporting there. Finally, a robot has entered one of Japan's wrecked Fukushima nuclear reactors to check if its radioactive fuel is stable enough to be removed. Fukushima suffered a catastrophic meltdown after the 2011 earthquake and tsunami. The cleanup is likely to take some 40 years. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report, coming to you live from the BBC World Service.